Well, good evening to the game. We give you a very warm welcome. And can we turn, please, to Luke chapter 15, please? The Gospel of Luke and chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15, and first of all, verse 1. Then drew near unto him, that's unto the Lord Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many a hired servant of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in, therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of this. Luke chapter 15 starts with two groups. First one, the publicans and sinners, they drew near to hear the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Two groups, and they're divided by their reaction, their response to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the verses we read at the end of the chapter, and we have two men. We have two men, one outwardly, we look at him And we can clearly see a parallel with first one, the sinner. Outwardly, openly, blatant in his sin. The second at the end of the chapter, from verse 25. Really, is a reflection of the second group from verse 10. And what the Lord is doing, and it really would be important for us to grasp this fact, what the Lord is doing is showing how God sees. This man receives sinners and eats his wisdom, yes. But you see, as we go through this chapter, it's the sinner who is in the enjoyment of all that the Father gives. It's the sinner who is there in the house. It's the sinner who is there as they celebrate the fact that he's returned. And it's the older son who is out. Three times in four chapters, the Lord Jesus will tell us about two men. Here in chapter 15, there's two men, and he tells us about their lives. One man who lived a life of sin, who repented, who came back and found a father's welcome, loving father. Waits to call thee home. What a glorious message we have to tell. There's a Father who is ready to receive each and every person. It's Luke's Gospel, you know, who tells us, who takes us back to the beginning of man. And in Luke chapter 3, as we read of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, as we read his line traced, and it's traced right back. And it's traced right back through the generations, traced through David. And it's traced back through Abraham. And it's traced right back to Adam. And at the end of Luke chapter 3, which was the Son of God. God made man in his own image. God created man, and in that sense, every one of us has come from the hand of God. In that sense, we are children of God. Now, I'm very careful in my language here. Every person in this world today comes from the hand of God. We have our origin, our life, from the hand of God. Every person will fall into one of the two categories of which we have read in Luke chapter 15. It doesn't matter how far in sin a person has come. The assurance is that there is a God in heaven who desires that all men might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We read about in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we read it in these words. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Yes, there is a God. There's a God who wants every person in this world to be in the enjoyment of what it is to be in the family of God. To know that there is a Father's welcome. There is a home. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples just before he went out to the cross, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas said to the Lord Jesus, then, how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus said those words, I'm sure we all know so well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in Luke 15 we have, man's response. We need to come to that point like that younger son. I have sinned. I am not worthy to be called thy son. In John 14 we have God's provision. The Lord Jesus can say, I am the way, the truth and the life. When there's nothing we can do, and when we acknowledge there's nothing we can do, God points us to the one who meets us in our sin and in our need. The one who's opened the way back to God. My brother John, isn't it, who week after week will quote those words from that chorus. There's a way back to God from the dark parts of sin. There's a door that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And the assurance of God's word is, we've sung it in both of our hymns. We've seen it here in the words of the Lord Jesus. The assurance is that as soon as a person turns from their sin, there's a welcome from God. A welcome into his family, a welcome into his home. But you know, sadly, and this really is what has been especially on my heart for tonight. Sadly, there are many who will speak of God as a Father. Perhaps they'll take from their lips the words the Lord Jesus spoke when his disciples said, teach us to pray and obey our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But they don't stop and think about what it really means. Because as we go through these chapters of Luke's Gospel from chapter 15, what we find is that the Lord is looking on the heart. At the end of chapter 15, the older son comes, and his father goes out into the field to entreat him, but he won't come in to the home. He's not prepared to accept that he is no better than his younger brother. And there's hundreds in this world. Hundreds in this kingdom of fight, even I would dare to say, who will find the door of heaven closed to them. Because, in one way or another, they have said in their hearts, I am too good to come the same way as those people. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I don't want to be identified with people like that. At the beginning of chapter 16, the Lord shows the folly of these men. Because he speaks about men who were stewards. A man who was a steward. And he found himself called to account. And when he's called to account, he realizes he's got questions to answer. And in debt, knowing what's happened to them, he says to one man, he says, look, you owe 100. You just like 50. You owe 100 measures of oil. You like 50. Another, you owe 100 measures of wheat. You just like 80. And what has happened? He's brought down the debt. And you know that is what people do. That is what religion does to that. That is what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing in the days of the Lord Jesus. They were bringing down the bar. Instead of the righteousness of God, a standard that we can never reach, they lowered the standard. And they said, we are doing all these things. We're paying our tithes. We're fasting. We're saying our prayers. We're going through all these rituals. Surely that will gain us acceptance with God, and God is saying, no. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, it's in those words in verse, in chapter 15 of the elder son, he says, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I've done everything you've asked of me, I've served you all these years. That was the very attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes in verse 2 of this chapter. That was the attitude that they displayed. It's the attitude of hundreds in this world today. They'll perhaps put it into different words. I go to church. I read my Bible. I say my prayer. Perhaps other people will turn around and say, well, I do good. I'll never harm anybody. I'll always do right by everybody. And they've all got the standard that they think is good enough for God. Listen to the words of the wise man in the book of Proverbs. Who said of the Lord Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Twice over in the book of Proverbs you'll read these words. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They've got their way. They've got their standard. And they think that God's going to accept them for the standard that they have. God has one standard. Absolute perfection. God looks down and God warns that every one of us falls short. And if we're going to be called to account, in chapter 15 it was a man who didn't want to come into the house with those whom he saw as second class. They're not good enough for me. In chapter 16, it's someone who's going to be called to account. And you know, that's what God's going to do. The day's coming when every one of us will give account to God. Romans chapter 3 tells us very clearly what that day will be like. What things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth should be stopped, and all the world should become guilty before God. And we're called to account. Everything about our life will be seen in its true light. There's nothing that we will be able to bring as an answer to God. All those things that we thought were good, all those things that we thought were right, that we thought could have pleased God, Isaiah 64 verse 6 tells us this, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. The best that we can do is utterly stained by sin. And at the end of Luke 16, the Lord Jesus tells the second of these parables of two men. Not now in their life, but when they face death. And there's a man who has nothing in this life. Nothing. Ah, but his hope was in God, he's taken. He's taken into Abraham's bosom, but there's a man who had everything this life could offer. And he began to die. He died. He was buried in pomp by the people who knew him. He was left in hell. He lifted up his eyes. Be it in silence. And a man who had everything this life could offer found that he stood before God and he had nothing. Why? Because when the door was open, he wouldn't go. The parables go together. In chapter 15, the invitation was there. The sinner came back. The younger son, he came back. He was happy to come back. He had nothing. Absolutely destitute, he came to his father and he received the father's welcome. The older son came. The older son was there. He was looking on. But he refused to come in. And because he wouldn't come in, when you come to chapter 16, he goes out to this life. And the door of heaven shuts to him. Instead of a heaven, the Father's house. Joy and peace is in hell, in torment. The third parable is in chapter 18. And there we have the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee, he goes up. I thank thee, I am not as other men are. And it's not now the man in his life. And it's not now the man of death. But it's the man in his heart. He prays thus with himself, the Lord Jesus. He never got past himself. And as he prayed thus with himself, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, and he could recount all the things that he did. And then there's the publican, the one that is God. And he then lift up his eyes to heaven. He knows he doesn't deserve. Just like the young man in the story we've read in chapter 15. He's utterly unworthy of any mercy. But as he beats on his breast with his head bowed, he says, God be merciful to me. I don't deserve it. My only hope is in your mercy. And the word mercy that he uses there, he said, my only hope is in mercy because of a sacrifice. Because someone was willing to take my place. And that tonight is the message we have to tell. Someone was willing to take our place. To free us. In chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it was one man who separated the two. This man, the publicans and sinners, they listened to this man. And as they listened to him, they knew the truth of those words. This man receiveth sinners. It doesn't matter what we are, he'll receive us. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen to the promise of God's word in John chapter 1. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen to the promise. The promise in John chapter 2, that's taken up by Peter on the day of Pentecost, that's taken up by Paul in Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Words of absolute assurance. Words of absolute certainty, and it's all centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because we look to the place called Calvary. And all our sins were laid upon him. The Son of God has loved us. Wonder can it be? Paul looks at it. Philippians chapter 3, Paul will say, look, he says, if anybody has got any reason to boast about what they have done, I've got more. This isn't, these aren't right ones. When Paul says that, Paul could say, here was a man who could live his life in such a way that no one could point the finger at him. A man who was privileged, yes, but a man who had given himself over to obedience to God as he understood the ways of God, but he understood and he came to recognize the truth of those words of Solomon that we quoted a few moments ago. He knew his way. And he realized that the way that seemed right to him was the path of death. And so that guy on the road to Damascus, he turns from himself and says, God, what wilt thou do? Turns from himself, he turns to the Son. And he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for God. Or as he writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, he pens those words that we were quoting from the hymn. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Everything I had, it belonged on that cross. All my boasting, all my good works, all my righteousness, it belonged to the cross. It only took me to the judgment of God. But he said, the Son of God took my place. The Son of God loved me. The Son of God gave himself for me. And now, my past has been written out. It's been wiped. And everything I've got rests in him. This man received sinners. The Pharisees, the scribes, they wouldn't believe it. Chapter 15, they're found outside the door. Outside the house. Chapter 16, they're found in hell, in torment. Chapter 17. They're bound with everything they boasted in, taken from. Chapter 18. We have the words of the Lord Jesus. Comparing the two. We've gone to have spoken of that parable in chapter 18, the publican and the Pharisee. And the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisee, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Here are two men. A sinner, unworthy, claiming only the mercy of God, he goes down justified. He knows his sin has been dealt with. He knows he's accepted. their mentality.
With all his religion, with all his good works, with all his efforts.
And he goes away from that temple quickly. There's no reason. Because he didn't.
He wasn't prepared to admit this.
I wonder tonight, where do we stand? Listening here, are we ready to take the place of the unworthy sinner? With nothing but mercy, the mercy of God is our only place. Or are we going to be like those others who turn, despise them, this man, received still as words of derision? They didn't want him because he didn't see people they didn't want to be identified. And the Lord takes them at their word. They didn't want to be identified with the sinners in their life, so they wouldn't come to him. And they go out into a lost eternity because they chose not to be identified with sinners in life. So the Lord says, you've got to be identified as sinners in death. Shall we pray? Gracious God, again tonight, we just thank thee and praise thee indeed. For the assurance that a holy God has provided a way of salvation. For the assurance that thy word has given us that no matter how far into sin any may have gone, thou art waiting to receive all who would turn. Not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repent. Ask it might please thee even tonight. Whether here, whether listening later, whether in other places, there will be those who will bow the knee in repentance. Call upon the Saviour. Enter into the joy of thy salvation. We look to thee and ask for thy blessing in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.